Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Bang! Out!
What about that?
This is the Midweek Rush.
Champagne football!
Robot Building Supplies, the toughest products at better prices. Call 1300-GO-ROBOT or robotbuildingsupplies.com.au.
Triple M rocks footy.
Bristol and Damo here for the Midweek Rub. Great to see you both, boys.
Afternoon.
Hello, Jim. Oh, now, Hall of Fame last night, Bristol. You just have a look across the names before we ask you about the legend, Kevin Sheedy. What are your thoughts on the other Hall of Famers from last night?
Yeah, it was good. Liked them all. Thought they were all absolutely fantastic. I like the inclusion of the West Australian guys, mm-hmm. the Naylor, and it does raise the question when you look at someone like Mel Winnan, who was a guy that I looked at growing up. He was just a superstar in the
Waffle. Played for West Perth, is
yeah.
that right?
As you know, he was just a huge name over there in the Mel Brown days it was.
A thousand goals in...
Yeah, he's just a gun centreman. Yeah. I remember him.
Centreman?
I would have been about 10 or 12 years. He was a centreman. Yeah, absolutely. Played in the middle, on ball.
Didn't he kick 1,000 goals?
You're thinking of Bernie, Bill.
You're thinking of Naylor.
Sorry.
Or whatever
sorry,
it is.
Bernie Naylor.
Mel Winnan. But it raises the question, and it always does when you put someone in. Someone like Rob Wiley, who's won, I think he won eight or nine consecutive best and fairest at the Perth Football Club from the year that he debuted. Yep. To the year that he left, he didn't lose a best and fairest.
Oh,
so that is just absolutely extraordinary. So he'd be another one. But no, they were great gets.
Well, we don't know enough about him. Like,
no.
Because of the 16 years or whatever I lived in Adelaide, I knew plenty about Barry Robren.
Yep.
But when he was inducted, a lot of people in Melbourne are like, oh, well, tell us, you know, he's Maddie's dad.
Mel Winnan was
superstar.
Mm. He was big.
And even Bill Dempsey, BT, was the man who spoke about Mel Winnan.
Yeah.
And his own record was quite outstanding.
Is he not in?
I don't think he is.
No,
I looked at the list last night.
Dempsey, as a West Australian, which I was... He was the equal to Polly Farmer in the West and Stephen Michael. You know, he was regarded in that sort of in that sort of area. So he was huge himself.
And the crowds that were obviously in evidence in the footage in those years. Jim, packed houses.
Oh, did you see it?
50,000, 60,000
at some games.
And they were just home and away games.
They were the Waffle Sandful Victorian League and never the Twain Shall Meet, wasn't it?
Yep,
only time it did was state games.
Yep, that's right.
That's how it was. Hey, David Neates, I loved... because I loved him as a footballer.
Yep.
But it does, and I can raise it now because he doesn't work for us.
Mm.
How Gary Lyon is not a Hall of Famer has got me completely stuffed.
Yeah.
There's a 5-time All-Australian, you know, however many games, captain of Melbourne. He used to get real angry with us when we brought it up.
Well, we weren't allowed to bring it up.
We weren't allowed to.
Are we allowed to talk about it now?
It's still got me buggered how he isn't a Hall of Famer.
No, and I must admit, too, that did cross not just my mind, but other people's minds in the room last night, Jim, because he introduced, was that come on the cross on the TV? He introduced the David Neates component to it, and I felt for him doing
well,
it.
Well, and this is no disrespect for David Neates, because he's a very, very worthy Hall of Famer.
Should be in before him, shouldn't he?
Well, Gaz, he finished 10 years before him, nearly, or seven years. Anyway, but the rest, Matty Scarlett.
So hang on, just going back to that, Damo. So does that mean that Gaz is assigned to never getting in?
No, it doesn't mean that at all.
If they put someone ahead that finished after
him? No. Look, a lot of these things.
How they do it.
Yeah, you need to sometimes launch your campaign. The one I was really happy with last night was Terry Wallace. And I think if there was a major glaring omission, it was probably Terry Wallace.
Okay.
Four best and fairest, two of those four at Hawthorn in that glorious era. One of those two at Hawthorn in a premiership year, 1983. Look, I thought he was the glaring omission, but Gary probably becomes that now.
The club have also got to nominate at least two a year, and often they don't, and that makes it impossible for you
so
to
So that's
get
where
in.
It starts, is it? The club nominates.
Yep.
Right.
And also, too, when a player leaves a club and goes to another club, they're then split, and the two clubs or three clubs that player plays for often has single servants or single serving players that are taking precedence in the pitch.
Great example of that was my brother when he was a director at North. Went to the commission at some stage and said, how the hell is Anthony Stevens not a Hall of Famer? Which is a very legitimate question. They turned around and said, well, you actually got to nominate him. And we went back and looked, and it had been an oversight that he wasn't actually hadn't been nominated. He had, and then he dropped off the list and had to be put back on.
And so then to get elevated to legend status like Sheeds was last night, the other four or five names that were named with him in discussion this year, does that mean they are automatically going to be in the group for next year or not?
Well, what happens there is the amount of legends is a percentage of the overall talent pool.
So there may not be a legend next year
if that percentage goes over the threshold. But I'll have to check that for you, BT. But given that the other names that were there were Wayne Carey, Gary Ablett, Jason Dunstall, it's fair to say the they'll next legend legends. Will come from, yep. from, those. From those.
And right. you'd imagine they will all at some stage be legends.
Couldn't see how that
Wayne Johnson, the Dominator Bristol, I loved, but you're talking about the West back in my sort of early teens. I used to watch the winners, and he was electric.
Yeah, he's probably one of the biggest big game players that the AFL, VFL has ever known. He played brilliant football in big finals. He was just absolutely sensational, Wayne Johnson. No bigger game player than Wayne Johnson, I would have thought, in the
Dermot, maybe
the
you
era.
Could argue, was big too, but he was extraordinary. And they were a great side.
He was.
So to stand out in a side as good as that tells you how good he was. And Scarlo, Bill, just fantastic.
Oh, he was. And he changed the game of fullback, really. Oh, David Dench probably did a bit at North Melbourne, but Scarlo running down the ground, he used to mark. A lot of fullbacks never used to mark as much.
I mean, it's changed before Scarlo's time, Bill. Who? David Dench, as you point out.
Yeah.
And there are about 30 fullbacks that did
30?
Well, Gary Pert was another one. He was his athleticism was absolutely incredible. Paul Ruse was a centre-half back, I know, but he did the same sort of thing. I mean, let's not...
Six All-Australian.
He was your favourite, Jim, wasn't he?
I loved him. Absolutely loved him. Blissfully Ancient skilled. Guy. That's what he was, Matty Scarlett. By foot and hand, Bill, exiting defensive 50.
I like
superb.
His ability to want to compete.
Yeah.
He's just got a fierce competitive
Didn't want
nature.
To get beaten.
No. I love the reference in his own speech where he said, I didn't want to be part of the leadership group because there was too many meetings. But I had a fair bit, I'm paraphrasing, I had a fair bit of power. Yeah. And issue would come across me.
Yeah, that's right. They would go to him and he'd say, no, yeah. But that all he's known for that bloody toe poke, which he still can't work out why he did it. It's unbelievable.
And the legend Bristol, Kevin Sheedy, very worthy. Tell us about him.
Yeah, unreal. Look, I knew Sheeds from my very first day in Victoria as a young 16-year-old kid, came from Western Australia. Richmond sent him to meet me at the airport and look after me for the first week that I was in Melbourne. So to have this guy, he turned up in the R.M. Williams boots, the moleskins, you know, this superstar at
plumber?
The airport.
Plumber? Was he a plumber?
He
then?
Was a plumber at the time.
He picked you up at the airport on the day you arrived.
He picked me up at the airport.
Was that the last time someone might have paid for the parking in the airport in a car that you exited from?
Excuse me, I don't know, but that's very unfair. Anyway, so back to the house in Richmond. He lived in Lockton Street, Richmond. It was just a little tiny house about 100 metres from Punt Road. And he and I had the same manager for the first probably 10 years. And his whole thing was his manager, you know, built him around buying a house a year. That was their whole target to collect a house a year, which Sheeds did in and around the Richmond area with all those single front little Richmond places when they were worth about $30,000 or $40,000, you know, which was probably about the salary per year that he was getting then. So he's an absolutely fantastic. And I've got to know him really well since then as well. So he was at Richmond. I worked with him in the PR. He was the PR manager, the first full-time PR manager in football.
Yeah.
So that meant that he'd go out and do clinics. Now, he was the first of any club that was full-time doing that. JB had his own office, and he took me on as his assistant, and eventually when he left, I took his job and took over. But so worked with him doing that, and then, of course, have linked up late with him while at Essendon as well through a great mate of ours, Nick Theodosi, who knows him really well.
Sports nights.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those.
Seen him a lot, and he's just a great guy, just a wonderful person, cares for you.
He loves...
Remembers... Everything he'll bump into Bill Brownless in the street and go, Bill, you know,
kick the goal off the song.
Remember the day in Geelong where you bought me a cup of coffee and a toasted sandwich. Right. Yeah, he just remembers every little bit
Not
of detail.
Not the goal after the siren.
No.
He won't give a stuff about that.
No, but he goes to every country town, and he does love Australia, and we heard that last night, didn't he? He loves getting around.
A bit like Tom Hafey in that era.
Yeah, exactly.
And also nice to see he and Derek kick it. Patch it up.
Yeah.
How completely, but at least come together.
Enough. And Xavier Campbell at Essendon has been trying to get that to happen for some time, Jim, and it clearly has happened. And happened in a way that Derek, the way he's portrayed it today, is satisfied.
Do you think it was so deep that Sheeds wanted it to happen before this legend?
I think you can read that into it, BT. Yeah. Only he could answer that. And whether he wants to explain that, I don't know. But I would think it's fair to ask the question, given that it has happened before he was up there inducted as a legend. And he didn't want to have it happen. And people have been trying for years to get them together, but it's happened this period. And Bill, Xavier Campbell's led it.
It seems a simple thing, and I'm not sure whether you guys are aware of this, but you look at handball now, and when someone handballs, you hit it on the top of the ball so it spins backwards, the similar spin to rotation to a drop punt kick.
Yeah.
Now, that all seems quite normal to us these days. That's how you handball. That's what you do. But believe me, pre-1979, that was not how you handballed. It was a mongrel and it went in every direction. Sheedy was the guy that implemented the rocket handball. I can remember at training in 1979 and 1980 when he was still there, I can remember him showing us
the rocket,
how to do the rocket handball, and this was going to be the next big thing in football. And we go, oh, Sheedy's just bloody kidding himself. You know, but now it's just taken as granted. And that, but that was him that introduced the rocket handball, the one that spins backwards.
And Derek Kickett could do it, couldn't he? He could bang it out.
Yeah. I think Derek Kickett won a Sandover medal and was disallowed because of a disgraceful report. And I reckon he won it by something like 17 votes.
I reckon you're right,
he was that far ahead of the next bloke.
Before he
ridiculous.
Came to North.
Tell us before he... well, he
played at North first.
Did he play at North first?
Played at North first, yeah.
Jeez, I'm trying
Derek Kickett.
Absolutely played at North.
The other thing...
Only played about 12 games, 13 games, but yeah.
Before we finish on Sheeds and we've got to get to a break, when I was saying at the top, when he took over Essendon, Damo and Bristol, they had been no good for a fair slab of time, hadn't they?
Yep.
So he really put the steel back into that amazing club.
And got to the round 5-6 period of that first season, Jim. I think they were 1-4 or 1-5 and nearly contemplated playing that particular weekend.
Yep.
In those days, you could actually play. And
put yourself in.
Yeah, so got them on a roll. And they won an extraordinary amount of games in a row then to get into the finals. Mm. I think they bowed out in the first elimination final. But it set the scene for what was to lie ahead with 83 losing and then 84-85 winning.
This is the Midweek Run.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Robot Building Supplies, the toughest products at better prices. Call 1-300-GO-ROBOT or robotbuildingsupplies.com.au.
Triple M rocks footy.
Damo, BT, Midweek Rub, and Bristol saw a fair bit of the Heart of the Nation coverage. So Seven did a great job with it, by the way. Just the game before, the Alice Springs boys against the boys from the top end, and that was great to watch. And then the main game wasn't because Adelaide were so... they were so poor, but were they not allowed to be good by how good Melbourne were?
Probably a little bit of that, JB. But you know what? You talk about that second game, and I actually loved it because of the vibe and because it was Melbourne actually showing us something that we hadn't seen for a while. And I thought, I actually got sucked in by that. Mm-hmm. And I didn't care how bad that Adelaide were playing. To me, it still had a great vibe in the game. I don't know whether that's just me as a commentator. But I loved what Melbourne are doing. And I was surprised and loved what they did. So it was great. But look, that game up there, they sold out.
Yep.
Sold every ticket for that game. They left the gates open so people could come in. But so 7,000 people there. The vibe of the whole thing, the community involvement in the whole thing was absolutely fantastic. It was a big win for everyone, particularly the local community.
Mm. 69 goals, BT. The Demons in their past three games. Melbourne was the opponent against Carlton the week before that, and then Gold Coast, which started that stream of 69. But that's goal power.
It is. So the three biggest scores kicked this year have all been kicked by Melbourne over the last 3 weeks.
In a row.
Yeah, consecutively in a row. They've won, I think it's 18 quarters, 18 consecutive quarters of footy in a row, which is absolutely staggering. And they've got good depth. I think what they did, JB, Damo and Billy, with their list is I think the first thing they went out probably addressed was the depth of their list.
Mm.
Not necessarily the quality of the top end, but the depth. And so now they probably go about 28 players deep, maybe even 30 players deep that could play when you consider Jaden Hunt.
Yeah.
You know, didn't play on the weekend. Dom Tyson didn't play. You know, won a great runner, won a great kick. Cam Pettison, a great backup for any of the tools that go out.
Blokes like Melch and them have been unbelievable, haven't they?
Melksham's had a career high year.
He has, no doubt about that.
Career best year.
They haven't got a weakness, I don't think. If you have a look at the whole team.
Jakey Lever played brilliantly.
He's not a weakness.
Of course, you guys were all over it when he played a couple of not even bad games. He played a couple of average games at the start of the year.
And slow start, Bristol.
And Damo wanted to write him off, and he's done, or he's put the hand out for the big dollar, and he can't play this game. Oh, come on, you.
Brian, you did the sell on him last year.
Yes.
Your work is done there. Your work is done.
You can be cynical at Purple, and we all have been over the journey, that after they've had as many bottom four finishes as they've had, they should actually come good at some stage.
That's
when you get
point.
That access to the draft, at some point you should start playing
you
better.
You and I had reason to come across just in passing, Jim, the 2014 draft where they got picked 2 and 3, Petrarca and Brayshaw.
Yep.
And aren't those two guys right now?
See, Brayshaw was
looming
just
as a crucial part of what they're doing.
He was just fantastic on the weekend. His ball use, his ball getting ability. He was just absolutely fantastic. Even Jack Viney, who just second game back, he almost tops the possession getters. He's tough.
Oliver's going beautifully.
See, Oliver, Viney, Brayshaw, there's one or two others I can't quite. just tough ball
Harms.
Winners. Harms, Chompers. Another one. Yeah. Just tough ball winners.
And Gawn, got, giving it down to him.
Gawn in the ruck.
Yep.
Got fantastic ball users. So Hibbert off halfback is a great user.
Yep.
You know, the likes of those guys, there's three or four others can't remember in the moment, but some really good kicks on halfback as well.
I loved seeing Tony Lockett in the crowd, and I was sitting...
Plugger.
No one knew he was there yet. No one knew who he was.
Amazing. Just sitting in the crowd.
He's just sitting there with a hat on.
What was he there, Jim? I didn't see the interview.
He was there for the Fink. He's been up there for about 4 weeks practicing for the Fink Rally, which is on in about two weeks, motorbike race through the desert with Toby Price and all those guys.
He loves it, doesn't he?
So he absolutely loves it. So here he is sitting in the stand. I didn't know he was there. A cameraman picked him up and said, I think that's Tony Lockett. You better go and check him. Anyway, sitting in the stand with cap on. Not one person in the stand knew that they were sitting next to the greatest goalkeeper of all time. And the amount of, it was only a small grandstand, only fitted about 50 people, right? Yeah. But the amount of quality in that grandstand that no one knew about. So Adrian McAdam sitting in the Netherlands. Darryl White sitting a little bit over there. You know, all these, Joel Bowden, who played nearly 300 games, I reckon, for the Tigers and was a great player, sitting there as well. It's just extraordinary. It really was.
So Plugger comes on the screen, Damo, and Lisa's sitting there and she goes, that's Tony Lockett. I said, the thing about him was he was sublimely skilled, Tony Lockett. And I reckon Jesse Hogan's got a... Now, he's nowhere near as good a player, don't get me wrong. But he's got sublime skill, Jesse Hogan.
Yep.
He's one touch, beautiful look-away handball
ball winner.
Petrarca. Just, he has got beautiful skill.
Great touch, JB. Great touch. And pushing right up the ground.
Strong
enough to work back to get the goal square, but not worried if he can't get back. Selfless.
Yep.
But
he
he's one touch footy on your weekend, you're right. It was just those handballs out the side door. Quick little soft handball if it required, or the more chunkier, sort of grittier handball to get a bit of distance. He can do it either way, and he's been extraordinary. He looks like he's a new, refreshed, released man, Jesse.
So can they beat Adelaide? West Coast, can they beat Richmond at the MCG, Melbourne?
Yeah, they probably can. I put them down as a possible premiership contender now. I think they're in the top four sides that can win it. I looked at Richmond about this time last year, and I thought they could win it. I think Melbourne would almost fit into that category. One more good win now for Melbourne, and they fit right into that category of being, you know, with such an even year this year. I mean, let's face it, there's no standout team other than West Coast, probably, and the Tigers, but they could win it.
Beautiful run, Bristol. Western Bulldogs, Collingwood, Port Adelaide, St Kilda.
Yeah.
So they could set themselves up beautifully. Yep. North Melbourne, the other team, purple, that are overachieving.
Yeah, well, the 6-4 scoreline, Jim, that's the amount of wins they had in the entirety of last year. They've done it in less than half this season, but they're doing it with substance, aren't they? And, I mean, well done. They've given their kids a crack. They've backed in some older guys. Waite's having, as strange as this sounds, at the age of 35, his best 10-match start to a season that he's ever had. Brown has actually been quiet by his standards the past fortnight, but still played his role. The two guys down back. I thought Thompson, I put my hand up, I thought Thompson was gone 3 years ago.
I reckon he probably thought last year was going to be his last year.
Exactly. Yeah, and staying, not just staying on, but contributing. I know what you think of Robbie Tarrant and Higgins and Zeeble. It looks all right, doesn't it?
If you can get the other guys around these older guys playing well and playing winning football, then you can extend the career of one or two older players, you know.
You need that middle rung, don't you? That 60 to 120 games. You really need those boys, I reckon, to fire, and then it just helps everyone, younger and older.
Decimated by injury last year, North, so they're now healthy. That makes a huge difference. Collingwood, the other team, Bristol, your old mob, and they are going along nicely too.
And got a good run when you look at Fremantle, Melbourne, Carlton, Gold Coast over the next month with a bye smack in the middle of that as well. They got a pretty good run. I'm still, for some reason, just not super as convinced about them as I are Melbourne. I probably should be. But for some reason...
I think it's valid, BT. They've had the one good scalp, haven't they? Adelaide, round four.
In Adelaide.
But the other five wins they've had are against teams that currently sit between 13th and 18th.
Mm. And I reckon they're thin. Are they thin in depth? Are they a bit skinny in depth injuries?
Not as thin, but I'm a bit with you. Until we see them do it against a quality opponent on more than the one occasion we have seen, I'm still question marking them.
All right, let's go to the teams that we have got some question marks about. Hawthorn. Where are they sitting?
Well, you called that a couple of weeks ago.
Three of the last four they've lost.
Yeah, they have. And 2 weeks prior to that, lost to North as well. I was spruiking them 3 weeks ago. I'm not now. And you were having the slows on them then.
Yeah, I did, because I just didn't feel they had the top end, you know, top end three or four are okay, but they dropped off really, really quickly for me. I was staggered. It was 2 weeks ago, I think, or 3 weeks ago, when they were going up to the Gabba to play... Brisbane.
And they lost, yeah.
And they dropped, remember they had six ins and six outs. Yeah.
Four of them were omitted. Omissions, yeah.
And I'm thinking, why? Is this someone taking a lighter side thinking they're going to win, or do these guys really need to be outed? Guess what? Since that point in time, they have lost a lot of momentum. And guess what? I did hear that from Hawthorn people, that is the very high ones, they have the same questions that you and I would have. Why did that happen?
Can't get goals.
Well, just on that point, the fact that Alistair Clarkson rang Geoff Kennett to explain or at least validate the reasoning behind those omissions was an interesting move, I thought. And Geoff made that public.
Yeah. And I didn't think that perhaps the excuses or the, you know, what Clark I said was probably fairly debatable, I thought.
Well, the midfield has always been the big question for me. Once Lewis and Mitchell and Hodge got to the stage in their careers where they all couldn't play in there and Mitchell stayed and the other two got sort of spat out, they've tried, you know, to get, obviously, and done well to get Mitchell, Tom Mitchell and Jager O'Meara to the club. But I just don't, well, you talk about Melbourne, I don't see that number of incredibly talented on-ballers able to fire through there.
So does Burgoyne go on next year?
Good question.
Does he play again next year? He's playing okay.
He wants to.
He does he?
Yeah. As far as I know.
21 down contested on the weekend. I think that's their big worry on the ground. What about Adelaide? Bristol, you saw them get absolutely split down the middle. Mm. They've got huge outs. I mean, Tex is massive for them. Sloan, we haven't seen virtually all year. The Crouch, you know, one of the Crouch boys. So they have got big players missing. But coming back, are they going to make that big a difference?
Yeah, when they come back and when they get their best side together, they will make a difference. But will they get their best side together? Is Sloan gone for an indefinite period at the moment? Is Crouch coming back at all? The talk is no. Right. And Tex, how bad really is he? Mm. So if these are all just 1 or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, okay. But if they're any longer than that, you know, Adelaide are looking a bit cooked to me as a result of just losing their best players.
Yep. That shorter pre-season, it makes a huge difference. When you're playing a grand final, you get virtually a month, you know, you lose a month on everyone else other than the team you play against in the prelims. So it can be bloody hard if you're already a bit banged up, which I think they were.
Cool, yeah.
GWS is another big question mark. They're prelim finalists from last year.
Looming worry. 4 losses in a row, only the 4 wins to this point of the season, plus a draw against St Kilda. But the lack of spark, Jim, I mean, they'll tell us it on the weekend that they were in the hunt, that they could have actually, you know, won the game of footy, but Essendon got them in the last quarter when it was there to be won, and I reckon it was just another plank in the theory that they are done for the year by way of being a premiership hope.
So it's a good point. So at what point, if you're GWS, Leon Cameron, behind closed doors, not publicly, do you pull the shutters down and say, right, because Deledio's, you know, going to be probably gone for the year. They might get back to play the last month or something.
Put them in for surgery, bro.
Yeah, put them in, protect them, get them ready. At what point can you afford to do that as a club, JB? Well, can they afford to do it more than perhaps a Melbourne club because they're not as member sensitive? You know, they know the money's there.
This was their hitting zone, Brian. This was the year when they were formed in 2011.
Really interesting to hear yesterday, Bill, Nick Riewoldt's comments about Jeremy Cameron and how much better he would play in a better system in a better team.
With Hawthorne.
Yeah, he's the example he used.
He's got a broken toe or something, hasn't he?
He had it for a while. But he said under a different coach, Alistair Clarkson, maybe.
And a better structure.
What are you saying? The coach is no good up there?
Well, no, the better structure, the better coaching, development.
Oh.
It was very strong what he said. I actually liked what he said. Mm. And he was basically saying that this amazingly talented young bloke is playing in a way that he shouldn't be. Which I thought he'd was
know, wouldn't he?
Exactly right.
And Deledio out for another 8 weeks.
Well, I think you now think he's done for the year. If they're saying 8 weeks, as they are right now, Bill, at round 10, given his history.
Does he come back, Al?
Yeah. Well, he's got another. I think he has contracted into 2019.
He was in really good touch, Bill. He was well-balanced and fluent. And
what about your mob?
Yeah, the Cats.
They didn't convince too many Saturday night.
Now, I know you all sit here and Brian and Damien, but let me tell you. It's a long season, okay? Right, 23 rounds.
Yes.
So you're going to have some good games, good wins up here.
Thank you, Bill. Yeah.
Then you have some flat patches.
Do you?
All teams do.
So you're happy?
So at the minute, I'd like to see a few more goals kicked and a bit better footy.
You still won the game of footy.
Yeah, terrible game of footy. And I think Carlton might have worked out the Cats. And because it's a narrow ground, it's easier just to block.
So should you be playing less games at Cadinia Park?
Well, it's not a bad point. And play at the MCG where they don't play that good a footy.
So you're throwing $500 million.
Yeah, so the money we've spent on that stadium down there.
We've all spent
only eight
money.
Games anyway. What do you want to reduce it to, Bill? Four or
no,
five?
No, but we still got to play down there because they make $1 million.
48
they
cents make, in every dollar
they
going
They make $1 million every time they play down there. And yes. Saturday night was chockers. It was unbelievable. But I'm saying
500 mil for four games.
They need some more goals. And I don't know if he's worked out the three superstars either, where and when to play.
Oh, you weren't saying that 10 weeks ago.
Well, I didn't know 10 weeks ago. They hadn't played together.
Sometimes games are above money too. Right? You know, sometimes games are above money. Like that game in Alice Springs, they make nothing out of that. But it's above the money thing. It's about all the other things you get out of it. And Geelong need to think about that.
All right.
It's not all about the in the sky rocket.
It is for you,
Bristol.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Now listen to you.
As we let you go, Bristol, we asked you this a couple of weeks ago, or might have been last week.
Got something on after this.
Has LeBron now dragging the Cavs into another championship series elevated him above Michael Jordan as the greatest ever?
No. Hell. Because people keep saying to me, oh, but he had Pippen sitting next to him, Michael.
That's it.
Well, guess what?
Dennis Rodman.
Guess what?
Luke Longley.
What?
Before Jordan was Jordan, Pippen wasn't that good. Pippen was a good, honest player. Jordan made him better. I'll ask you this question.
Yeah. Horace Grant.
Who has LeBron James made better? Other than
LeBron
Kyrie
James.
Irving.
That's who he's made better.
Kyrie Irving for a moment. Who around him? And you cannot
Dwayne
win
Wade.
It.
Love.
You cannot win it.
Chris Bosh.
Unless you have made someone around
Kevin
you
Love.
A bit better.
He's made himself better.
He's made himself better and he is unbelievable.
He is.
Incredible.
Dominant. I've never seen a bloke dominate.
Bill, I'll leave you with one thing. How many championships did Michael Jordan win?
Five.
Six.
Six. How many's LeBron won?
Three.
Right. So he's halfway there, Bill. That's the answer.
If he gets him over the line this time, Bristol, he's the greatest ever. That's my...
That could be. Because the other argument is, of course, he has dragged a team that is just
here we
going.
Go.
That was Jim's point.
You're sitting on the
And
fence.
Has one of the softest players of world sport ever known to mankind playing for them in Kevin Love. I mean, Kev, get up off the deck.
I like it, Bristol.
Get up off the deck, Kev, and have a dip.
Nice to see you, Brian.
Whispering.
Nice to see you, Damo. We'll look forward to seeing you both on the weekend.